Welcome to Split Second, presented by Zerkops. I am Sean with Phil, and joining me is the one and only Tammy Zerk. Hello, Tammy.
Good morning. How are you, Sean?
Doing well. Glad to have you back, because from the last time you and I were together, you have enjoyed a vacation.
I did. We actually tried a new resort in about Cancun. It was called Paradise. No, it's called Heaven. This one was called Heaven.
Heaven.
And it's actually a Hard Rock resort, and half of it is adult and half is family. And so we stayed on the adult side and just kind of ventured back and forth with different restaurants. But it was nice.
Well, did it meet the expectations of its name?
It was nice. Let's say it was nice. We ended up, we did some Bali beds on the beach. We pretty much did absolutely nothing, which is what we wanted. Got two massages that week. So everything I could do nothing, I did.
And hopefully you ate well?
Yes.
And maybe things you normally wouldn't eat because it's not the healthiest thing? Is that a good way to describe it?
and normally you would think that you'd spend a lot of time like drinking and chilling and eating, but mm-hmm. we were so exhausted. Now, it doesn't matter where we are. Ron's going to eat a lot. Now, just throw that out there. He's going to eat a lot.
Yeah.
But
well, he's still a growing boy.
Yeah, definitely, all the time. But we didn't eat a humongous amount like you normally would. We were just so tired. Yeah. We slept in the Bali bed. We slept by the pool. We just did nothing, honestly. Oh, okay, well, I did get burnt really bad. I always try to stay out of the sun, but I got burnt twice. On top of
you mean you didn't learn the first time?
I know,
you had to come back
and
do this mistake
that bad.
Second time?
And Ron's always on me about it. But and then I did two of those therapy IVs while I was there, just because I was tired. I've been working a lot, and I was so dehydrated. So, yeah, it was called recovery. Recovery IVs is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good trip.
So how many days away?
We were there 7 nights, 8 days.
Wow.
I know.
That's a long time.
But honestly, it takes you like the first 3 or 4 days just to finally start to relax when you're going 100 miles an hour. You know what I mean?
Not me. A couple of Tutti Frutti's in 24 hours, I'm relaxed.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that for us, but I really wish it did.
Yeah, I arrive and have a Tutti Frutti, a couple of those in the first... a few hours, man, I'm disconnected. So
I'm going to have to try a Tutti Frutti.
Oh, yeah.
I am taking...
You definitely, you know, there's nothing... And I don't normally have Tutti Fruttis, but when you go to the beach, there's something about rum and then also maybe some tequila. Not together, different type of drinks, but have a little Tutti Frutti and it just sort of relaxes you and it disconnects you and... And I highly recommend it.
I've never tried one. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, I'm leaving out. I'm taking all the girls in my office. This has been a whirlwind year so far.
Mm-hmm.
And they have done amazing things with our company because we're growing quickly. And we've even added another company, a cleaning company. And
are you looking for punishment?
I have plenty, thanks. But I had so many complaints from different my security clients, just that having a hard time with cleaning services. And so someone goes, why don't you start a cleaning company? I don't know what I was thinking, but I did. And so now I'm venturing out and you know, several of our cleaning client, our security clients, we're now going to be doing cleaning for them. And we started one this past Monday at one of our largest clients. And so it's been a crazy week of training new cleaning personnel.
Now,
and
is
getting
this
everybody situated.
Commercial cleaning?
It is industrial commercial cleaning.
Okay.
Be it large factories, offices, you know, all of the above. But it's been an adventurous week.
Yeah, so. Sounds like it. Well, you have just shared with us that you guys are now in the cleaning business. For those that may be new to the Split Second podcast, give us a brief overview of what else Zerkops does.
Okay. So Zerkops is a security guard company. We have armed, unarmed, security guards over the city, over the state, actually. And then also we have a training company, ZERCOPS training. We do tactical training for, you know, police, security guards, civilians, and we do all different levels. We start out children, you know, A3 training, basic handgun, and we have every level of training for guns and self-defense, pistol, rifle, shotgun, all the way through, and we have senior defense classes, which I'm getting ready to have one of those in this next couple months. So we stay really busy. We train them, and then we certify them. We send them out to different posts, all our guards. And now it's a joke. They kind of like say, okay, Tammy, so if you have guards on one side and something happens, you have to shoot somebody, now you can clean it up. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. But we just kind of covered all the bases for our clients. Yeah. We come in and we train their people on site. We provide the security guards, and now we clean their buildings.
And you also hold various training classes at your main location on Highway 58, mm-hmm, for just everyday people like me.
Right, right. Like I said, we do all levels of training for civilians, whether it's pistol, rifle, shotgun, and all levels of self-defense. So, yeah, whatever they need, somewhere in there, we have a class for it. And which brings me to today's podcast. We teach active shooter training across the state. And we teach it at businesses and churches. We teach at schools. And we have it at our location. Any location someone needs it, we take it to them and train them in their own building. Mm-hmm. We help them put their security teams or their safety teams together, and we teach them how to clear buildings. We give them the understanding of active shooter. How do they think? How do they move? And how do you think, and how do you move in that situation in order to keep you and your group safe? So we want to touch base on that today, because the biggest thing about active shooter is the fact that you have to be prepared ahead of time. You have to have some kind of plan in place. It's not just training. It's a mindset that you have to be cultivating and building and, you know, being aware of. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today.
In just a moment, we'll elaborate on that and very extensively. And I will also share with you who's going to be joining us here in the studio. But before we get to that, I want to send high praises and compliments to ZERCOP Security. I have just had my fourth annual Chattanooga Fitness Expo presented by Optimize You. It's a bodybuilding and fitness competition. And ZERCOPS has been our security. This is our third year together, I think. Mm-hmm. And you always provide us with four security officers.
Right.
And we probably have 400 people, maybe 425 people. That's about all that we can fit into the ballroom there at the embassy.
You're going to need suites. A bigger place next year, Sean.
Well, we have looked at that, but with a bigger place comes bigger dollars.
Yes, it does.
So we're trying to figure if that's going to be in the budget. But nevertheless, ZERCOP Security has done us an outstanding job. And I always get compliments from different folks telling me that, hey, glad you had security here. Hey, I felt safer with ZERCOPS here. Things seem to be a little more orderly. And we also have a cash bar at the back of the room. And we have a crowd that's a little different than your typical bodybuilding show. Yeah. Most bodybuilding shows, the people that are attending the event to watch their friend or their family member, after they perform on stage, oftentimes they'll slip out the back door and they're gone for the rest of the evening. But at our show, everybody loves to stay till the end, which we're thrilled with. And it's because it's a fun, entertaining event. And we have a cash bar at the back of the room, and everybody, or not everybody, but many, like to partake in a adult beverage. And anytime you have a lot of people and you're serving alcohol for those that choose to, you always have to be prepared. So ZERCOPS makes sure that everyone is safe. They do an outstanding job. So if you're anyone out there listening that you're a promoter of an event or you're a business owner and you're looking for private security, I highly recommend Zirkop Security. They have done us an outstanding job. Very professional. They are what I would consider to be the best in the business. So keep them in mind. And we'll tell you a little bit later at the end of the program how you can find them online and how you can get in touch with them. But first, before we head to a break, we are going to talk about active shooters. And back 9 years ago, there was an event held in Chattanooga that was, well, I say an event, it was an unfortunate event. And it happened on July 16th, 2015, where we had an active shooter here in Chattanooga. And to many people, it is known as the Day of the Fallen Five. So, Tammy, we're going to be talking about that. We have also got your husband, Ron Zirk, with the Chattanooga Police Department, and Grover Wilson with the Chattanooga Police Department that was a part of that day. And we're going to hear from them. They're going to share their stories. And I hope everyone out there listening can come away with a life lesson from them sharing their stories. So we've got that and more as we continue. You're listening to Split Second, presented by Zirk Ops. For Tammy Zirk, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
If you have turned the TV on in the past year, then I don't have to explain the importance of learning self-defense. Here at Zirk Ops, we offer classes for all ages, children, juniors, women only, co-ed, and seniors. All of our classes are handicap friendly. No matter your age, size, or physical fitness level, we have a class for you. It is important that you know how to defend yourself exactly as you are. Check out our classes at ZirkOps.com.
As we continue Split Second, presented by Zirk Ops, I am Sean Whitfield, along with Tammy Zirk. And Tammy, we've got some guests joining us here in the studio today to talk about a very important story that happened here in Chattanooga on July the 16th, 2015. But first, I want to introduce our guests. Joining us here in the studio is an instructor with the Chattanooga Police Department Academy, Ron Zirk, and Grover Wilson, sergeant with the Chattanooga Police Department. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Glad to have you guys. And Tammy, I will let you get started telling or introducing us to the story, and then we'll have some good dialogue of what happened on July 16th, 2015.
Yes, I've kind of been after these guys for a minute to do this show with me, because we teach a lot of active shooter classes, and we know that everybody always thinks that it's going to happen to someone else somewhere else, but we got a big wake-up call here in 2015 here in Chattanooga, and our guys had to deal with that situation, and I wanted them to come on and just talk about, because in the middle of an active shooter situation, excuse me, I want people to kind of get a picture of what it's really like. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? How are you looking at things? You know, if you're prepared or if you're not prepared, and just kind of break that down a little bit. And these are the best two that can help, because one was right on the inside, one was on the outskirts, looking at it from different angles. And the confusion in both areas. And so I want to actually ask Grover. Grover is at the police department. He actually even teaches a class about this situation. But I want him to kind of open up a little bit about, just to give us a brief layout of the story, mm-hmm. the kind of opening. And then all of us kind of delve into just the different perspectives and what they were feeling, how they were looking at it, and actually how they ended up handling it in the big picture.
Before we begin the discussion, anyone out there listening, if you pay attention to the national media at all, you're going to be able to relate to this at some level. Yeah. Active shooters in this type of story, because it seems like we have gone for several years where it's been going on way too often all across our country.
Yeah.
And we've always got to be mindful that it could happen again right here in our hometown. Yeah. So this is a very important conversation. Grover, if you would start us off and tell us about that day, July 16th, 2015.
Yes, sir. So I was asked that morning what my day was going to look like. And my normal Thursday, I'd work my regular shift, and then I'd go two extra jobs after that. And I was like, it's going to be a normal Thursday. That's all it's going to be. And about 10:30, myself and another officer were getting ready to have lunch, and a call came out about shots fired up on Lee Highway. And those come out just about every day. Every hour, there's a shots fired call somewhere. So I decided to go with him, even though it wasn't dispatched. So we start heading that way, and our sergeant at the time, he saw some people across the street from where he was sitting. They were all acting up and pointing and stuff. And then he heard the shots fired call as well. He goes over there, and he notices the parking lot's full of shell casings. The recruiting center's been all shot up.
And this is a location that I can only assume that you and the other law enforcement would have never expected something like this to be happening at.
Not the recruiting center, no,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
So he says, get them up here. This is an actual shooting. We need some more officers up here. So we get up there, and you can see the shell casings everywhere. And so my sergeant looks at me and says, hey, he went north on 153, go find him. Him and I had been in a previous shooting years before that, so we kind of a little bit of a connection. We're on the SWAT team together. So I'm like, let's go.
And this was on foot?
No, I was in the car.
He was in a patrol car.
Yeah, because he was last seen driving a Mustang convertible hitting 153. So I get on 153 as well.
And you're headed 153 north.
Yes, sir. And my regular radio is on the channel that I'm normally on, which is Charlie Channel. My in-car radio was on Baker Channel, which is one of the other busier districts or teams in the city. So I'm driving, and I'm going as fast as my Crown Vic will let me go, because I'm trying to catch this guy, find this guy. And I start hearing other addresses, and I'm not familiar with them. And then finally someone says, no, the NOS on Amnicola. And I'm like, I know where that is. So I exit, and then I get to the NOS.
And for those that are out there listening, can you describe exactly where that location is on Amnicola?
It's almost right across from the Coca-Cola plant.
Okay.
There on Amnicola.
Gotcha. Okay.
So part of it backs up to the river park and all that.
Okay.
So I get out there. My rifle's in the trunk of the car. So I grab that and grab a couple magazines, because the last report was that he was wearing a bulletproof vest, is what we were told over the radio, what a citizen had called in.
And it was only one person?
Only one person. So I get my stuff ready. I don't put on my heavy vest, because I'm already in a vest with my regular uniform. And I start into the NOS. I mean, I start going towards the NOS, because I can start hearing shots being fired. And so as you make entry, I pick up more officers as I go forward. And I think it's a 7-man entry team at first, and with a bunch of other officers trying to fall in behind us. We pass his car he used it as a battering ram to get through the gate of the NOS. And then as I'm point man, I'm pointing out places where he could be hiding, because the gunfire was intermittent, so he wasn't exactly sure where it was coming from. And that was a confusing piece there, because you could hear it, but I couldn't see. It was echoing back because of the trees and the building and everything. And finally, we figured out it's coming from the back of the building. We get back that way. And up until that point, I had no fear of being shot. It just hadn't entered my mind at that point. But when I got to the back of the building and assessed the situation, the motor pool had these slats over it, so you couldn't see into it very well. And the gate was open to my left about 50 meters. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get from where I am over there without being shot? And so about that time, one of the other officers who had seen the suspect on Amnicola, he sees the suspect shooting and running towards Navy corpsman that was out there in the back. And so he starts shooting. And then next thing you know, we're all engaged in a gunfight, shooting back and forth. And then
how long did this go on? Did this interaction and I guess you could say it, call it a shootout. How did it go on for just a couple of minutes, or did it go on for much longer?
Of course, it seemed like forever.
Yeah.
But in the scope of things, it was just a few minutes, and then he was put down, or he got shot and killed.
Yeah.
But in your mind, it's like it's playing in slow motion, and you know you're thinking it's going on forever and forever, forever, and then when it's over, you're thinking, you know, you're physically, mentally drained because you know what you just went through. But yeah, it was only a couple of minutes, but a lot of rounds were fired in those couple of minutes.
Ron Zirk, what was your day like that day?
Again, very strange happenings that day from just a everyday activity. On Thursday, I had went to get my hair cut because on Friday I was going to pepper spray the police recruits.
By the way, how often do you get your hair cut?
Well, that's another thing.
Weekly?
My hair grows. It feels like it grows out every day like a cheetah pet.
As you know, that's beside the point. I can't
deal with hair. Hair is not my thing. So anyway, so getting my haircut, back to that, is it's videoed, right? So I want to make sure that, you know, haircut's squared away. So if the department uses the pepper spraying for recruiting purposes, or, and it's always there, we always keep it on tap. So I want to make sure I'm AJ squared away so that when I'm spraying them, you know, I look like I'm supposed to be spraying them.
Yeah.
Definitely don't want Sarge to say something to me about, hey, man, your hair looks like crap while you're spraying the police recruit.
And normally you wouldn't have even been in this area. Is that a fair assessment?
Right. I would have been at the office. So what I did was I ran up to get my hair cut for lunch, right? I was going to come back and eat in the office. And so got my hair cut and was on the way back, right? So Thursday, Friday, we were doing the pepper spraying. And I was actually talking to a retired sergeant who went to work for Boulder County Sheriff's Department. And just catching up with him, right? He hadn't been gone that long. So, you know, just kind of keeping him in the loop about what's going on with us, checking in on him, making sure he's good, see how he's settling in and stuff. And was right there around Lake Junior on Amicola. And two police cars came by. Now, I'm in an unmarked car, by the way. So it's, we won't get into the lack of horsepower that this car has, a little Escort. Anyway, it's unmarked car. It's more of an office car, right? Because in my job performance, I'm a teacher, right? So I teach police officers.
So it's just for basic transportation.
Right. Just to get you there and burn the least amount of fuel as possible. So I'm just kind of cruising along, blending into traffic, just talking to him, making sure that everything's going well. And two police cars come by at just liquidatious speed. I mean, these guys were moving on well over 100 plus miles an hour on Amicola, right there at Lake Junior, rising that curve right there. And I was like, wow, that's something seriously going on. And it looked like NASCAR. They were feet off of each other's bumpers. They were moving on. And I told him something crazy is happening.
And typically, as just a citizen, when I see a patrol car going that fast, the first thing enters my mind is there must be an officer down. Because you guys sort of just go full speed crazy if there's a situation where an officer's down. Is that fair to say?
Well, yes. And so the other half of that is that's one of the classes that I actually teach at the police academy and in services is EVOC, emergency vehicle operations courses. And the big portion of the emergency vehicle operation is to be able to drive these vehicles at high performance, right? High performance, but also safety. Because they're moving on at high rates of speed. And you got to remember, there's citizens out there. You're not on the road completely by yourself. It's not a racetrack. So to have high-performance skills with civilians on the road, it's a very dangerous. Driving police cars at high rates of speed is extremely dangerous.
For them and the officer.
Yes. Yeah. And so you can't hear very well in cars. You know how cars are made these days. You can't hear well inside of them. People are distracted. And so there's a lot of things that can go on. And then when you go at high rates of speed, you look at reaction time issues, right? Just like NASCAR, right? You have, you know, tenths of a second to make a decision, evaluate, and make the decision. Then you get in the activation of the sympathetic nervous system, those kinds of things. You can't hear good. You can't see good. You can't think good. You have auditory exclusion, all those things for the police officers while they're in this high performance driving thing. So being a trainer of that, I see them go by very quickly. And the first thing I'm thinking is, yeah, it's officer down. Some, I know we drive fast, okay? When you see police cars going, anytime you see a police car with lights and sirens, it looks like it's going faster than it is, right? Because it's drama, right? Lights and sirens and engines are roaring, and it sounds like it's going faster than it is. But this day, they were really going that fast. They were moving on, like, beyond a regular response. So that clicked in my mind. It must be an officer down. That's the only reason they would be driving at that rate of speed. It was above and beyond go. And I was like, this, something's wrong. I told him, something's wrong. I'm like, let me let you go real quick. I'm going to try to figure out where they're going. And like Sarge was saying, it's, everything was happening like instantly. Like things were going on instantly. And I had no idea what was happening. And so I kind of got on the gas a little bit to kind of catch up with them, to kind of see where they were going. By the time I got there, they were almost gone by the time I got straightened out on the road. Anyway, kind of got caught up. I don't know if it was those two cars. In my mind, it was those two cars. But when I tell the story, it probably wasn't those two cars. It was probably two more other police cars that I saw by the time I got caught up, simply because they were going so fast. But I remember in my mind that I thought the two cars, the police cars that I saw, were the original two police cars. But when you look at the distance that we traveled and the rate of speed, that's no way it could have been those two. It had to be two other police cars that may have came off that access ramp, looking back on it now, right? Because, but in my mind, it's happening so fast. Oh, that's the same two cars. I don't think it could be. So anyways, I saw two police cars moving at a high rate of speed. They turned very sharply into the road leading down to the playground area, the NOS, the boat ramp, all that little area down in there, which was absolutely mind-boggling to me. I'm like, that's strange. That's a strange place to be going. I mean, maybe they're going to police headquarters. Maybe somebody came in to police headquarters and there was a gunfight in there. Maybe it's a suspect. Maybe something like that. Very strange to be going in that area, which is even more confusing to me at the time as I'm trying to process the story. As I got up there, I saw two more police cars pull in that fast. I mean, two dropped in within, I don't know, tenths of a second. Two more punched in behind them. And I looked to see what kind of where they were going. I remember having the windows down because it was a nice day. I heard two gunshots. It sounded like bolt action, 30-06 kind of style. Boom, big, heavy bass. Boom, boom. I thought, wow, that sounds like 30-06, 308 or something. Heavy. In my mind, again, this is the confusion part of it. I had no idea what was going on. I mean, this stuff is still happening instantaneously. Scrambling for the radio, trying to figure out the radio traffic. Didn't know what was happening. In my mind, the first thing I thought was, there's a shootout at the playground.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have you tell the rest of the story. We've got that and more as we continue. For Tammy Zirk, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
In January 2021 alone, gun sales were up nearly 80%. With the huge surge in gun sales, it has become a very important focus at Zirk Ops to assist new gun owners with obtaining the knowledge and skills needed to handle their firearm responsibly and with confidence. Whatever your skill level, let us help you become more comfortable with your handgun. Check out our schedule at ZirkOps.com.
As we continue Split Second presented by Zirk Ops, I am Sean Whitfield along with Tammy Zirk. Our guest today is Ron Zirk, instructor with the Chattanooga Police Department Academy, and Grover Wilson, sergeant with the Chattanooga Police Department. Before we headed to a break, Ron was sharing his story. So, Ron, please continue.
Yes, sir. So, I heard the gunshots, and again, it sounded maybe like a bolt action 30-06 or 308. It was a heavy kind of bass sound. I'm like, wow, that's pretty high caliber sounding explosion. So I'm like, okay, there's either a gunfight at the boat dock or there's one at the little park there. If you recall back in that time period, it was pretty violent that year. There's a lot of gang violence and stuff going on in Chattanooga. And as a general rule, that playground is usually kind of neutral territory. We don't usually have any kind of problems. Maybe cars get broken into there on an occasion, or maybe a domestic violence stuff, but it's usually very quiet there. Coming from the country, boat docks are always a little bit rough, right, in case you jug fish somebody else's place. But that's not that kind of thing. That's usually in these border counties and these boat docks. So I thought it was going to be gang shooting, cops are responding to that. That's what my mindset was at the time. So I pulled over to the inside of the road right there across the street from the actual shooting. I had no idea. Jumped out of the car real quick. By the time I got to the back of the car to put on my vest, another police car comes sliding up and says, "What's going on? Where are they?" And I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "Somebody just shot up the recruitment center and they've landed here at the NOS." And I'm like, okay. And well, it sounds like, and about that instant, gunshots just erupted. It was a lot of sustained gunfire. And I was like, okay, let's go. I looked up and two more cars had went in the front. And I was on the SWAT team forever, right? And so I knew that we had a lot of presence on the front end, that whatever the engagement was, we'd be pushing them back and left. There's no way they could sustain that much manpower on the front of the building, that it would be pushing whatever it was back and left, because that's a lot of wooded area. The escape route would be to go underneath the bridge. So I positioned officers along the ramp and got into overwatch position behind it on that interstate ramp that comes down, so I could see into the NOSC itself.
So that the interstate ramp is right there around DuPont Parkway.
Mm-hmm. So on the SWAT team, I was a breacher and a sniper for years, so I wanted to gain the high ground to be able to see in the NOSC with a rifle. And so stationed there. By the time I ran up there, some other police officers had already was stopping and responding to it, to this active shooter. I could hear the gunfire start, and then it was a lull in the gunfight for a second. Again, this stuff was happening extremely fast. There was a small delay in the gunfire, and I heard AR-15s pick up that sound, and I'm like, okay, our guys are engaging in this fight. And then they stopped shooting, and then a different sound of gun kicked back up again, meaning they hadn't suppressed it. And that was like, oh, this is for real. There's a bunch of people, not just one. Then there was another slight delay in gunfire, and then I heard the ARs open up pretty heavy, and I knew that they had suppressed it. There was nothing else after it. I was still expecting, right on the overwatch position, trying to look down into the NOSC. I was waiting for them, whoever they were, to jump the fence and try to escape the shooting, right? The police action. And of course they never came, right? It was only one person come to find out. Mm-hmm. But that was the confusion for me. And from the very start to the end, and I think one of the things that, I guess not saved me is the word I'm looking for, but kept me in the action was the training that we had from the SWAT team and the police department. I knew what to do. I knew that there were so many cars on the front that they would be pushing back and left away from the action. And my thought process during that time period was to stop that escape from the attack on the NOSC.
Y'all identified earlier in the conversation that it was one person. Is that typical? Is it typical that it's only one person and not more than one?
The majority of the time, yes. Now, there's been a few exceptions like Columbine, the Beltway shooters are in D.C., the San Bernardino shooters, the husband and wife mm-hmm. team. Majority of the time, it's what they call like a lone gunman.
Gotcha.
But it was reported that they were two people seen originally. I only knew of one, but so we had to plan to see if to make sure there wasn't a second one yeah. and clear the building and clear the motor pool like there was a second shooter somewhere.
Is there a reason why how do you identify this gunman as a perpetrator? Is that the terminology you used a while ago, Ron, or am I mistaken in my terminology here?
That's the suspect.
Or suspect, okay. Is there a reason the suspect went to Amnicola? Was that his plan all along?
So afterwards, we find out that the Marines had been on annual training and had come back from annual training, and they had 30 or 40 extra Marines there to help clean up all the equipment and get everything back in order. Mm-hmm. So he had scouted the area out and realized that there was a bunch more targets that he could be able to potentially attack and kill.
Okay.
So that's why he picked that area, or that particular place. And the diversion was the shooting on the recruiting center up on Lee Highway. I think that's about a 17-minute drive from both places, thereabouts. Took him almost no time in that Mustang that he was using. So he was hoping that they pushed enough people to the recruiting center that he'd be able to do what he wanted to do at the NOS without much effort.
That day, to many people here in Chattanooga, is known as the Day of the Fallen Five. Talk about why that is.
Okay, so he had went inside the NOS and shot Petty Officer Smith, and then he shot four of the Marines on the outside. So as once the suspect was down and neutralized, mm-hmm. myself and another officer had to make entry into the gate to make sure that he was and actually neutralized, and to make sure he didn't have anything else on him, like a suicide vest or something. Mm-hmm. So as we enter into the gate, we had Sullivan and Wyatt were two of the Marines. Mm-hmm. They were laying right there as you make entry. And then after we make sure that the suspect is down, we find Holmquist. He was shot in the back, or the back part of the motor pool. And then during a subsequent search of the rest of the motor pool, we find Skip Wells in one of the trailers. So that's the Fallen Five.
Yeah. Was there any law enforcement officers that were injured in the gunfire?
Yes. Dennis Pettigo took a round to the leg. It shattered his leg pretty good. He's completely healed now, but yeah, he did take a round.
Is he still with the Chattanooga Police Department?
He is.
Okay. But he was the only injured officer?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tammy, let's bring you back in the conversation. Anything that you remember about that day you would like to add?
It was terrifying for those who knew they had guys on the inside. I found out, I heard that something was happening. And then the secretary at the time, Amy, she had called me and said that she was trying to get in contact. She would keep me updated. And so that was the whole waiting to see what was going on and if our guys were inside and if they were okay. And I remember when she finally called back and said, our guys are okay. You know, that was such a huge deal because there was like 20 police wives waiting. So it was a super emotional day for the people on the outside.
Yeah. Ron, as we come to a close in this segment, what do we want to leave listeners with? What do we want to say is the lesson learned in the story for the people out there listening?
I think the lesson learned is the training response. In all the confusion that was going on, you never rise to your expectations. You always fall to the lowest level of training. That saying is absolutely true. That day and all that confusion, the training from the SWAT team, the police training that we had kicked in, and everybody started working their piece of the puzzle. It might not have been sexy. It might not have been fluid, but hey, they were working their pieces. We had people coming in the front. We had people coming in the back. We had emergency response coming. Everything worked extremely well in a very, very, very short period of time. The response to that was almost instantaneous. And again, looking back in my memory and at the time, it seemed like this went on for hours, but it was literally seconds. Things were happening in literal seconds.
Yeah.
And without that training, I think that would have been an absolute disaster. And like I say, everybody worked their piece. Every officer that responded, and there's a lot of different jurisdictions that came.
Yeah.
And that's something to tell listeners too, is even though, say, Masadi Daisy or the state troopers, or maybe even Georgia state troopers, we're all trained in basic police academy stuff. And then when you're in high pressure situations, everybody picks up their piece because of their training. And without that training, it would have been miserable. It would have been disastrous.
Grover, when you look back on history here in Chattanooga, has there ever been a time that something even close to that day has happened? That anybody in the police force could remember or recall? I know I've been in Chattanooga all of my life, and I never remember a day like that.
I don't think there has been.
And when you guys like yourself, Grover, and guys like you, Ron, when you put on that uniform every morning, does it ever enter your mind that a day like that can happen? Does that cross your mind at all?
Not a day like that, but if you put on the uniform and you go into work in white mode, basically like everything is peachy and fine, it's not. You have to put on the uniform and be ready for things to happen.
Yeah.
You're driving around through the city, you're driving as you're going to a call, you're thinking, what if? What am I going to do if this happens? What am I going to do if this pops up? What am I going to do if it's not the quite situation a dispatch is sending me to?
Yeah.
You put the uniform on and you get a completely different mindset.
And the Lord definitely takes care of us. Mm-hmm. That's it. Definitely takes care of us.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, gentlemen, thank you for coming in and sharing this story. The 9-year anniversary is coming up next month, July the 16th. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but I guess we can all be thankful, too, that we have not had another day since then. But you always have to be prepared.
Yes, sir, you do.
So, Tammy, before we head to a break, any further comments?
No, I appreciate you guys coming in. I really do. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that lost loved ones and friends during this. And I know that that situation changed a lot of lives here in Chattanooga, and especially a lot of our guys that were directly involved in it.
And to add to that, two guys, I know this is not an easy conversation, so thank you very much for coming in and sharing this story. And hopefully someone out there listening can learn from this. And we just hope and pray that we never experience another day like that here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. All right, it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will have some closing comments and wrap up today's Split Second presented by Zerkops. We've got that as we continue. For Tammy Zerk, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Whether you have recently bought a gun or have had one on your dresser for 20 years, we have a class for you. Pistol, rifle, shotgun, whether you need basic all the way through tactical, we've got you covered. Classes for all ages starting at age 4. Whether you shoot every day or you've never touched a firearm, we can help. Check us out at zerkops.com.
As we continue, you're listening to Split Second presented by Zerk Ops. I am Sean Whitfield along with Tammy Zerk. Wow, Tammy, what a conversation with Grover and Ron.
I know, and I know they there was a lot they didn't say. Mm-hmm. I have talked to them before, and I know that their mindset during that time, you know, that little feeling you get in your gut when that fear of the unknown. And that was the big difference. They had that feeling, but at the same time, they had the training. Mm-hmm. And that made a huge difference in them forging forward in business mode and taking care of business. And it makes me think, you know, all the people that are out there that have had to deal with these situations that did not have any training. I can't even imagine how terrifying that would be. To be in the middle of that and I absolutely have no clue what I should do. Mm-hmm. And how I should handle it. And we teach active shooter all over the state, and I cannot stress enough how important it is for you to prepare yourself, your family, your business, because none of us know when or where this will happen next. It's guaranteed it will happen somewhere at mm-hmm. some time, but what if it is you?
So many times, and I think most everybody out there listening can relate to this, we think tragedy can't happen to us, it only happens to someone else. And active shooter situations don't happen in little old Chattanooga, Tennessee. Those only happen in big cities, New York, Washington, Nashville, others. But we are not exempt.
No.
It can happen here. It can happen in any town or city across this country.
It can happen again mm-hmm. here. And it's a horrible thing. And having the mindset, getting some training, and understanding yourself and how you handle stress and crisis, and just moving forward, especially as a team, as a group, if you're in a business, a school, a church, anything like that, working together and making something happen, because, yes. you know, it really can. And I just want people to know how important that is, and understanding the difference between, you know, having those, that fear and locking down, or having the training to go with it and moving forward. Because shutting down and hiding or getting scared in a corner, that'll cost you your life really quick.
Yeah.
And moving forward.
And the message I want to make sure we send to our listeners today is, yes, professional law enforcement has this type of training. This is a part of their world, but also ZERCOPS offers this type of training mm-hmm. to people like me and my wife and your friends and family out there.
Right. Everyone, anyone can take this training. And my husband, being the master instructor at Chattanooga Police Department, we teach the active shooter the same way, except it's a little more detailed and in-depth, customized to each person mm-hmm. and their situation. So we have a regular class at ZERCOPS you can just come and take. It's an 8-hour class, and it is covering, the first portion is just, you know, understanding active shooter.
Yeah.
I think people don't realize that there's a whole section of just on the patterns of active shooter, the way they think, what triggers them. Just having that information is great. And then the second part is we're doing scenarios. We're teaching you how to do building clearing, how to enter a room, how to look down a hallway and see them before they see you, how to use lights in a room, in a doorway, to, you know, help keep yourself safe, or so they blind them so they can't see you. Just, there's so many little things that are huge details to save your life.
Yeah. Tammy, as we come to a close, for those out there listening that would like to get more information about ZERCOPS and stay up to date on the class schedule, how can they do that?
We have a website. It is zerkops.com. That is ZIRKOPS.com. Or they can just call our office. It is 423-710-3170.
I know you have a very busy class schedule. Can folks also get information not only on the website, but maybe on social media? Facebook, is that an option?
We do. We have Facebook. We have Instagram. I'm not really big on Twitter, but
mm-hmm. I'm not.
So Facebook and Instagram are our biggest, you know, yeah. ways to find out.
And if you're new to the Split Second podcast, this is a podcast that we'll be releasing every other week, and we are going to choose a variety of topics. Today right. was really focusing on active shooters, but Tammy, you have got a long list of topics that we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come.
I do. I don't know what order I'm putting them in yet. I'm lining up all the guests. So
and many great guests to go with these topics.
I know. And our last one was, it was kind of out of, I'd say it's a little out of sync for what we do at ZERCOPS, but it was about how to be healthy and, you know, keep your body in tune. It was a lot of details. A great doctor was on the show with us,
yeah.
Dr. Callie Seymour. But hey, in order to take care of yourself, you need to be mentally and physically able to do that too.
And you know the other piece of the puzzle in taking care of yourself is, Tammy?
Are you going to tell me to sleep?
Getting plenty of sleep. Getting plenty of sleep. Tammy Zirk does not get plenty of sleep. So we're going to hold her to practice what you preach.
I agree. I do agree. I'll take that. that.
Yeah, so get some rest. But hey, share this podcast with your friends. Also, subscribe to it. Then that way, whenever we release a new episode, you're going to get a notification and you will not miss any episode of Split Second presented by Zerk Ops. Yeah. All right, Tammy, it's been another great one, and I will see you on the next episode.
Yeah, and for those of you who do not subscribe, you can find it on our website at any time. We do have a page for the podcast on the website, just in case.
All right, that sounds great. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of Split Second presented by Zerk Ops. For Tammy Zerk, I'm Sean Whitfield, and thank you for listening.